There we go. Okay, that should be good.
Well, we know Cora's high on life.
Whee!
But what's interesting about divorces is a lot of couples, after they get done raising children and the children have left the nest, a lot of them have problems after that, and many do get divorced because when they don't have kids to keep them together, they start to see their faults and kind of sandpaper against each other.
I mean, that's what happens when you jump into a relation. That's what happens when you jump into marriage with the intention of having kids, which is a huge problem here in Utah. It's why Utah has one of the highest divorce rates, because the LDS Church pumps these kids out, throws them off on their mission. They come back from their mission ready to marry, and there's women waiting for them ready to marry. And those women are also ready to have kids at the age of 20.
Yeah.
Modern Wonderland.
So by the time, like the divorce rate is nothing short of incredible. Like all of my friends out of high school married, missions, a few went into the military, and you know, after they came back from their missions, they got married as well. Like all of my friends were married, and it was just me and like a couple buddies who were just like, yeah, we like beer and we like freedom. We're young. We want an education first. We want to have our life set out before we dedicate. And now we're almost done with college. Well, he's graduated. I'm getting ready to get my degree. And like all of our friends who were previously married are now getting divorced with kids.
Really?
Hey.
Aw, that sucks. That sucks. But
that's the mentality that the LDS Church instills into them.
Yeah, that. And you feel sorry for the kids too, but so many kids are growing up in that environment that just very unfortunate.
It is. Anyways, happier topic. Sorry about that.
Happier topics.
Cheese.
Cheese
is always a happy topic. I like cheese.
Yeah, cheese goes well with beer.
Cheese does go well with beer and wine. What is up with that?
I don't know. But I'm gonna use the bathroom real quick. Nature called out of nowhere. So I'll be right back.
That's what pre-show time is for, man.
It just hit. Forgive me.
Yeah, I've read 100 tips of podcaster, and 3 of the tips were go to the bathroom before the podcast.
Storm is failing 3 of the 100.
We are professionals.
Yeah, what is like, there's probably one of them's like, drink water while you're, have something refreshing to drink while you're talking.
Yeah.
Recharge them vocal cords.
That's a good idea. And don't drink carbonated water because you will burp the whole podcast.
Yeah, unless you're playing Rick Sanchez on Rick and Morty, don't drink sparkling water.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Oh, did I steal that from you?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. We're at 2 minds.
I can totally cut mine out, and you can totally say it. I did not mean to steal credit.
No. It's not a problem.
It's fine, Core. You just steal all the good jokes. I hate you.
I was very spontaneous, but you were first, so it's okay. So I mean... mind-liked, or how is it? Something minds think alike.
Great minds think alike?
Ah, thank you. Great minds think alike. Perfect.
I disagree. Great minds think independently.
But...
So we're not great thought. Minds. We're really stupid. You and I.
In your opinion. Man. So,
Fleeks is a sleepy Fleeks.
Yeah, I'm a very sleepy fleeks, but it's 11 p.m. here, so I can be sleepy.
Yeah, goddamn, I'm sorry.
Especially because I had a 2-hour nap beforehand. Because I was, like, even more dying before at around 20:00 military time.
I know standard time, it's fine. You don't have to translate for me. Except I never understand. Do you use 0000 for midnight or 2400 for midnight? That's lost on me.
0000.
Normally 24, but 00.
Exactly! What do you
depends.
Do?
When I was in Australia, all the clocks rolled over to 0000.
I mean, you're starting with 12 a.m. and then you're going to 1 a.m. That's not much.
But you don't go
better.
Like 24:01. You skip over to 0001 at that point.
Correct. At least on the clocks I saw in Australia. I can't speak for Germany. I'll defer to Fleeks.
It depends on if you want to describe the end of the day or the start of the day.
I think that's probably it too.
Yeah. But yeah, normal is 24, and then it jumps over to 0001.
I go to bed at 2400. I wake up at 0001.
Well, in Burdania, the sun is always rising.
That's not good. That causes crops to burn out.
The
water.
Causes all
we
the
need
birds.
Water. It's all evaporated. It's gone. There's no condensation at night.
The floor is lava.
Oh, jeez. Apparently, my co-host would rather live in darkness.
I would rather have a steady balance in between. Because I need the sun in order to stay warm. If it's not there, I start freezing to death.
That's
okay. I'll keep you warm.
And once again, the crops can't grow, and then the food can't grow, and then we die.
And between Lavaland and Iceland, there would be a lot of storms, I guess.
This is not Super Mario World. You can't just go into that situation.
Oh, what are you afraid? We're going to have the sun start chasing us like in Mario Brothers where it comes down from
the
sky
and starts
burning, starts burning birds in the ass.
Actually, those sun stages were like perfect to speedrun. They were easier if you speedrun them.
Yeah,
of...
if you just zip through the level and you get through the level really fast, they didn't bother you at all. You just kind of jumped at convenient times.
Right. That was the best strategy.
But if you slowed down at all, it's almost like it kind of targeted you.
Oh, that sun was on a... I don't know what you did or what Mario did on that level, if he, like, wore too much sunblock or something, but that sun was out to kill.
Generally is.
Wasn't there... No. I wanted to say...
That entire level was just a metaphor for skin cancer. Wear sunscreen, okay?
Jeez.
In
Burdania, would we have sunscreen or would we have feather screen?
We wouldn't need it because the feathers would actually block out the UV rays from hitting our skin. And
yeah, pretty good.
We would still have flesh around our beaks and stuff, but like we would probably keep it kind of covered.
I guess that would make sense.
And I mean, as disgusting as it is, vultures poop down their legs to work as sunblock.
Well, vultures. There's just some things we do not need to talk about for Burdanian news. And vulture pooping down their legs, I'm not sure that's necessary.
Hang on, stop the show. Pause, stop, break everything. Is Storm telling me to not talk about poop on this show? Storm. Is this really happening right now?
It's one thing to be dive bombing cars. It's another talk about shit running down the legs of vultures.
But it's nature. It's what happens. It's what they do.
One is a chemical.
You're talking about using like poop as warfare, and that's a monkey thing.
One is a chemical.
I'm talking about something that actually happens in real life, and I crossed a line, sir.
The other one is
you.
Like, I'm sorry, but when was the last time you ever heard two birds say, hey, you want some sunblock? Just shit on your leg. I'm sorry, that conversation doesn't happen.
Because okay? They don't need to. That conversation never needed. They just do it.
Oh, my God.
It's not a conversational topic. It's a societal fact in vulture culture that they poop on their own legs.
So you're just saying you'd be talking with a vulture and it's like, whoop, there it is.
Yes.
I just took a shit on my legs. Anyways, you were saying.
No, you don't even do it. You don't even acknowledge it. It just, you do it.
There's no way not to acknowledge the smell of bird shit. Okay. It just.
They're vultures. They already are gross. Sorry, Mariette. I met you at BLFC and you're a huge sweetheart, but you're a vulture and you're gross.
He does have a nice ass, though. After it's been bird bathed. Anyways.
Should we actually do the show?
Yeah, let's do that.
This is episode 31 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
And I am the advocate for avian food.
Yep, that's Storm.
Yeah, that's Storm.
So, what are you two bird brains drinking today?
I am drinking 100% pure, of the earth, vegan water.
How the hell is water vegan?
How is it not?
Yeah, how is it not?
Would it a vegan come over and bless the
it's
water?
It's also gluten-free, I'll have you know.
But is
and
it calorie
free?
But is that water kosher? That's what we need to know.
Yeah, I can get kosher some kosher salt.
You gotta get a rabbi in here. This shit's gotta get handled now, folks. Right now.
I think the water is kosher as long as you did not extract it from milk where you cooked meat in. And I don't think that Core does.
Yeah, it's
like
not pig
that.
Water, don't worry.
It's not pig water.
No pigs were harmed in the making of this film. Oh, and I am drinking a Stella cider, and it is my first time drinking this in the U.S. I had some when I was at Confuzzled in 2016, and this shit is like the bomb.
The apple cider is good.
Oh my God, it's fucking amazing. I recommend it to any bird listening.
And
I know
have,
at least one long-leggy bird who loves anything from Stella Artois.
What would that be?
One very long leggy bird who was on the show not too long ago.
Ooh.
Yeah, same.
Long leggy birds.
I have a Stahl.
Regenspul Spital chocolate stout.
Yeah.
No. Okay, I've got a question for you.
And
did you see the beer I put on my Twitter yesterday?
No.
You replied to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
How the hell did you not see it?
The images didn't load.
No, I saw it. It was a Hackapschor Weissbier. It's decent.
It's decent, man. That shit was like crack cocaine. It was great. I could drink that and substitute a fucking meal with it. It was so thick. Holy shit.
What kind of beer was it? Oh, okay, so I see your summer shandy and
white
then
beer. White beer.
It was a Weiss? Beer. Oh, it's, it says
a
it
Weiss,
right on the
yeah, a Weiss.
Bottle.
It was a Weiss.
Glass thing.
And but I have... I mean, it's one of the good Weiss beers, but it's definitely better than Schneider Weisse or other stuff, but I have my my other favorite, like König Ludwig Weissbier.
Okay.
So, fair Storm, enough. Quick question. Right, yes. Before that tweet, you also tweeted about trying a summer shandy. Who made the summer shandy? What company?
Oh, that's a great fucking question. I was at a restaurant called Old Chicago, and it was one of their specials on tap.
Okay.
So I don't have a cluckin' clue. It might be Samuel Adams, but I'm not sure.
I don't know if they have a summer shandy per se. So the one company that I do know makes a really good summer shandy is Leinenkugel. And that is... So I have a friend who, until he had Leinenkugel summer shandy, hated beers. And then he had that summer shandy, and it just kind of started opening doors for him. And he's now very much so, like, possibly even surpassing me on beer aficionado scale.
Holy shit. You popped his beer cherry.
That was his gateway beer. So, honestly, like, recommended, anything from Leinenkugel's is generally very good. So give them a try if you were, like, trying to kind of get into the whole beer thing. Super recommended.
This is going to sound fucking horrible. I'm sorry, guys. To all the listeners, I'm sorry. My gateway beer into drinking actual beer, okay? Not, you know, wine coolers or wine or any of that stuff, but actual proper beer. My gateway beer was an ice-cold Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm sorry. I really am, but... It actually tasted pretty fucking good. It really did. Now, like, wait, if a brand that's supposed to be awful can taste good when it's cold, maybe all this other horrible piss-tasting shit actually tastes decent.
Was it canned or was it out of a tap?
No, it was canned.
Ugh, okay.
But it was like ice fucking cold.
Gotcha.
Maybe that helped. I'm not sure, but it was amazing. I might have already been drunk.
It's refreshing. If I mean, like, some people drink it to hydrate.
Yeah, especially when you're out in the desert and there's this burning effigy shaped like a human.
That, oh my God. So it's a beer Germans drink to rehydrate from drinking beer.
No, we don't drink Blue Pabst Ribbon because not only it's not good for German standards, but it's also like €3 can because it's imported.
I don't think it's good for American standards. It's just you go to the store and you go to the cheapest beer they have, and it's a run-up between Pabst Blue Ribbon or like Northern Light.
It's refreshing hop water, okay?
pretty much.
Hop water.
But now
it's not even hoppy, it's weedy.
But now I tried a Michelob Ultra a couple days ago. That I didn't care. It was okay. But I'm just trying everything now. I tried Budweiser. I tried Miller Lite. I don't care. I'm trying everything just to see how they taste. And what I'm discovering is as I get older and my taste buds slowly begin to fail me, these beers are actually tasting not that bad.
It's not that your taste buds – actually, okay. So there have been some scientific studies on this phenomena of as you progress in your expansion of trying beers and different things like that, because you become so focused on like the nuances of different beers, you know, they don't all just taste like beer to you. You're trying to learn and kind of experiment. Your taste buds aren't going bad or getting fucked up. They're actually growing. They're specializing. You're going to know this was a trip, man. You are going to notice like foods and things are going to start being more flavorful as well, because you're gaining this inherent, like passive ability to kind of focus on tastes. So that's why like food pairings with beers is such a big, thing. Like, there's whole festivals just dedicated to being like, what goes good with this beer? Blueberry muffins? No. Cranberry muffins? No. How about Raisin Bran? Weird. Yes, that goes really well with Shock Top. Not really, but just as an example.
And, you know, well, it's funny we're talking about that.
Or steak, yeah. Or lamb chops.
But it's funny we're talking about that because you go to most restaurants, and If it's a, you know, a mid-tier restaurant or higher, they'll have like a wine suggestion with some of your food.
Yes.
Well, I like wine, I do, but you know, fuck that shit. Beer is where it's at right now. And if we're talking about beer, the fact that these festivals you just mentioned are starting to catch on, I think is really neat, because you're right. Some beers do taste better with certain foods, and Fleek's German beer, for whatever reason, seemed to taste fucking amazing with greasy ass Chicago style deep dish pizza. It just tasted great.
Well, like Psycho Stick already said in their song "Beer," beer goes good with pizza. It's a rule. I think it goes well with every beer. Pizza and
pizza's kind of the everyman food. It does go well with everything. If it's good pizza, you can get shitty pizza. Little Caesars.
And a very, eat like really old or soft, or this very intense cheese is very good with beer in general, too. Yeah.
Again, beer and cheese. It's like beer is the new wine.
Yeah, I agree
with
that. Actually,
it's even a better wine. I'm really not a huge fan of wine, generally.
Unless the wine is sweet, I don't give a shit about it. I'm just being real with you.
Same, sweet honestly. I don't like wines unless they're Moscatos, really.
Yeah, if it comes to wine...
I like the finer differences between, you know, the red wine versus the white wine. Yet if you put a face mask on them, most people can't tell the difference. It's all bullshit.
I mean, wine is something that probably can grew onto you. You know what I mean? You can get warm with it, mm-hmm. and then
just like
maybe,
with beer.
Yeah, I mean, with beer, it was with IPA. I think my first few IPAs were like, oh, what is this? I'm not sure. But meanwhile, I really enjoy IPAs.
Decided I have to be sober at this point. That was something I was actively working on, was finding an IPA that would act as my gateway IPA to the rest of the IPA world. Because that's a huge popular scene that mm-hmm. I have yet to find. Well, actually, within the past couple weeks, I started to find like some IPAs that didn't completely suck. And I felt like, hey, you know, maybe this is kind of going to open the doors for me. Because previously, every IPA I've ever had, ugh.
But yeah, ugh. IPAs to me, they taste like really strong, or they taste like really thick sludge, depending on where I'm at. Maybe that's just my experience, but they're almost like a bitter taste.
They
are bitter.
Like crazy. Yeah. And hops are just bitter, bitter pods of delicious hatred.
Yeah, and there are a lot of different hops. Like some are more citrus, some are more chocolate, some are more, I don't know. There's so many stuff, and of course IPAs even have like a measurement for bitterness, like those bitter units, because that some mm-hmm. like it the more bitter the better. But I'm more I like milder IPAs,
and it's just honest. Like how people do it with like spicy things, you know, like.
Yeah,
big fan of super spicy.
Who will? Yeah, I love habanero.
Like I like spicier sauces rather than just straight habaneros. I like to.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't eat them pure too, but I love habanero sauces. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that. It tastes really good. I'm glad we all like food that actually has flavor. Because
I
found people that don't like spice, not always, but a lot of the times when you go to have something they've made at home, their food tastes almost kind of bland.
So there's adding a little bit of spice to it, such as like sriracha or maybe some mm-hmm. more specialized ones. And then there's over the top, which is like your Blair's After Death sauce kind of stuff, which I have a bottle of 240,000 Scoville units. And I will occasionally dab into that. I'll put it on like some food that, you know, it's not really a particularly delicious food like Hamburger Helper or something, I'll put in like a little dab of that in there just to torture myself, just to survive the incident and have milk by my side. Because it's fun.
Does it come? I got to ask you this question, Core, since you do that to yourself.
Yes.
Does it come out as hot as it goes in?
Yes. So I don't do that very frequently anymore because I have to dedicate the preceding 24 hours to my own suffering.
Well, my problem with very, very hot food, very spicy food is that I get hiccups from it. I mean, I can stomach it. I can really.
That is such a German thing to get hiccups with spicy food. I don't know why that's like a thing in your genealogy, but I've every like German I have ever met, you give them spicy food, they have the hiccups, like really hard hiccups.
I have to agree with Cor on this one because I've met quite a few Germans, and unfortunately, he's spot on with that feedback. It's something in the genes. It really is.
Maybe.
Hilarious and adorable, and it is the one weakness Germans have. So if we ever have to attack Germany, give them lots and lots of spicy food and attack them while they have hiccups.
When I was at Grand Canyon National Park this past weekend, I ran into a German engineer, street engineer, that was admiring, you know, the park. And we started talking, and literally one of the first comments he made when talking about his experience in America was, "Your food's so spicy." Oh, it was great. It really was.
Yeah, yeah.
So
did we have an actual topic now that we've gone through beers, wines, and spicy foods? This has been awesome so far. I love it.
That's actually our topic, Birdnoms 2.
Birdnoms 2.
Yep. There's so much to talk about food in general. Oh, man.
How sophisticated do you guys think Birdanian food would actually be, and what are some dishes you think we would see on the menu?
So, I think I briefly mentioned it before, but avians, like birds in real life, have very little sensory for spicy. So that's how they eat, like, you know, bell pepper seeds out of the bell pepper. They eat, you know, really hot habanero pepper seeds out of the little habanero bells.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they spread the seeds through natural processes that way. I think kind of in that vein, like reaching out a little bit, I think peppers and stuff would have a huge part in avian food, like not even necessarily for the spiciness, but for the color and the flamboyancy. You know, birds are already very flamboyant kind of thing.
I agree, but mainly because birds not only taste hot not very good, it's also they generally do not taste very good. I mean, like, they can taste very good because they don't have as much taste buds as they have significantly less taste buds than mammals. Like if a human has like 100 taste buds, where a bird has about 20, something like that.
Right.
So, and this is, it doesn't go for all birds. There are some birds who are, taste especially good because there's always, like, exceptions in biology.
Popper! Continue.
And they tested that with, for example, blue jays, because blue jays ate, without any hesitation, peppercorns, you know, like, from black pepper, and... the squirrels did not eat them.
So maybe this is just kind of a generic like thing that I keep seeing, but like blue jays, every time I see like a picture of a blue jay in real life, it's eating something.
Well, they are very sophisticated mother cluckers.
I was going to say they're gluttons, but okay.
Well, yeah, they love peanuts. In that they eat a very, very wide variety of things.
So gluttons.
Okay, you know, yeah, but, you know, I'm trying to be kind. But I guess then moving the conversation to like...
They're sex-offending gluttons is the point here. That's what we're trying to establish here on Bird.life.
So the sex-offending gluttons, okay, of society, if you went to, like, the Birdanian, you know, nightclub district or nightlife district with the restaurants and stuff, I'm imagining you'd probably go down and you'd see restaurants that offered, you know, the finest nuts and berries and such. But you'd also probably see restaurants that maybe offer what, like 5-star worms and whatnot. What do you think?
For the like robins and sparrows and opportunistic insectivore kind of things?
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Rup is important.
I don't think insects are really a primary staple in many birds' diets. Like,
well, yeah, I could see that.
I think it is mostly nuts and berries that kind of go after. Am I right, Fleeks? Am I wrong?
Woodpecker eats termites. Mostly insects and stuff.
Yeah.
And maggots and grub in general. But you can also find them a lot of times on peanut feeders.
Oh.
And and they're fighting with the blue jays over that.
Okay. So it would be very interesting then. Would birds use utensils? Or would they just use their beaks and talons since...
How would they?
Well, if they've got flingers, the utensils would have to be shaped in a certain way to allow them to easily grab them with the flingers.
How would you grab something with flingers?
Yeah. Who's to say you couldn't? Why not? Who's to say by this point in time with the evolutionary scale of the birds of Birdania that they haven't figured out a way to lightly grab something?
Maybe we have adaptive fingertip wings.
There you go. Why not?
Well, just eating stuff with your feet, that would be a thing, probably.
Not very sanitary, though.
Even pointing at stuff with your feet and everything. You do everything with your feet, walking, grabbing.
I don't know. I think they'd probably point with their wings, kind of spread their wing out in the direction they're pointing and say, yeah, that asshole over there.
I think hygiene would have to be very, very important in bird society.
Yeah, that too. And I mean, you also can just eat with your beak. I mean, just peck. Pack your food
like
a bird,
like you do.
No, would birds be affected by alcohol?
Well,
all
are
all
birds affected by alcohol?
I'm going to defer to Fleeks.
I mean, all birds, every living species is, I think, affected by alcohol, even microbes and stuff and insects. I mean, spiders, if you give them alcohol, they start to build funny nets and stuff.
Yeah, they do. That's an ancient study.
Yeah.
That was done back in, like, what, the 80s?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe even, like, the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, the things that the government will spend their money on, let me tell you.
We're going to get spiders drunk.
Now you just made me, congratulations, you just made me think as a natural progression of that, of birds that are getting high.
Now that's the interesting thing is, some creatures can't get high.
Yeah, you about to tell me birds can't?
I don't know if birds can or can't. I know that... I'm not going to say that I know, because now I have to do my frickin' research on this, but from what I recall, there are quite a number of species out there that don't have the same kind of receptors that we do as far as like weed and marijuana go.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Now in my Google search history is, can animals get high? And I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, you shouldn't try it. I came up with an on marijuana.com, getting a bird high. Yeah, so I'm getting a parakeet, and me and my friend gets his dog high, and I was wondering if you're able to get a bird high and whether it's dangerous. Don't do it. Well, that's even the question.
It's probably dangerous, especially if the bird's flying. But if they're not flying, what's the worst thing that can happen? They get acacia the munchies, eat all the seeds.
Thank you, MaryJane.com, for teaching me that dolphins get high off of pufferfish, reindeer apparently enjoy magic mushrooms, and wallabies like to sneak into poppy fields for an opium fix. So, that's super. I learned today.
Yeah.
Oh, and bees get drunk off fermented nectar.
Yeah, a lot, and some species even get high from, how are they called, centipedes and stuff. So yeah,
right, the black lemurs.
They were actually not centipedes, but the one with more legs. I forgot it.
And then jaguars apparently eat hallucinogenic vines. Yes, they rub millipedes on their skin and face and stuff.
As repellent, but more as repellent.
Wow, I never knew that. Now, with coming full circle back to food for a second, what do you guys think of, like, cooking with beer, wine, and if you like the concept, or do you have any favorite recipes?
It's delicious. Beer brats, whiskey burgers. God, yeah. White wine in Alfredo, like fettuccine.
I mean, I used to cook a lot of Japanese, and you almost always put like sake in it, so it's a thing. Also, you can make everything with wine or beer. I mean, a lot of German dishes are naturally made with beer, like a beer, dark beer goulash, or
dark beer sauce
and stuff. Hmm?
What?
Goulash. Fleece, goulash. Can you tell us what goulash is? Give us a simple exclamation.
Goulash is like three meat cooked in paprika and stuff, and other herbs and stuff.
Is it a slow cook kind of thing?
Tomato, yeah, slow cook.
Oh, okay.
You slowly cook meat in it.
Then I think I know what it is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and you eat it. Then you eat it with. There are a lot of different kind of goulash, like cream goulash, where you put like sour cream in it, and then you got and depending on what you put in, you eat other stuff to it, like wheat dumplings or noodles or. Mostly common is potatoes. Yeah.
Okay, and the alcohol burns off while you cook it. Is that right?
Yeah. You only get the nuances. You get a very concentrated flavor of the malt and stuff when you cook beer, for example. Or if you cook with wine, you get the more sour taste, you know, because it really depends on what alcohol you use and what you get. A lot of people, for example, they cook with cherry.
Cook with cherry?
Cherry, the brand that is the liquor brandy, not you know the those wine liquor or whatever it is. I don't know what exactly it is, but it's a very it tastes good to a lot of for a lot of roast sauces. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. And do people use beer as just straight beers like a marinade? Or do you need more than just the beer?
Actually, if we could go back... No. You of course, you need to put flavoring in the beer, some herbs and whatever. You can't just not use straight up beer as marinade and expect that it's special or something.
Okay. Because I'm starting to cook more myself, and I really like meats and seasoning them, seasoning the fuck out of them, and having a lot of fun with that and how good it can taste. Marinating, though, is something I'm starting to really get into, especially because I found that when you soak meat, depending on what the marinade is, it really can bring out just an entire new profile of flavor and make it even like a cheap cut of meat, rather moist and juicy.
Mm-hmm.
So finding out, you know, what marinades you guys would recommend, I think would be pretty cool.
I like to say experiment. Like, you can buy all sorts of pre-made marinades and whatever in, like, the store. But, like, learn how to mix spices on your own and make dry rubs or even, like, soak, like, you know, things to soak it in.
I personally, if I can recommend anything, put honey in your marinades because honey tends to caramelize a bit and it gives the whole thing a very special note, you know. It's
really good if you want like sweet meat kind of thing. I'm very partial, like garlicky kind of, like garlic salt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like putting like, you know, chunks of garlic in there. One thing, okay, so one recipe that I took that I really adored was hobo dinners.
Okay. They're
really cheap, really easy. You know, you get your potato, you get some carrots, you get, you know, a variety of basic vegetables, whatever you want in there. And then you get some really cheap meat, be it ground beef, be it, I used carne asada. Generally, carne asada is like kind of a really tough, chewy meat.
Right.
But for the creation of the hobo dinner, it's kind of a bit of a slower cook. So you throw all these things together in a tin, and then you wrap the tin up really tight, and then you put the tin over a fire. I did one little extra thing where I just took just a half-inch thick slice of jalapeno pepper and just stuck it somewhere in the tin packet, and the flavor of that little piece of jalapeno like swept throughout everything, and everything just had this nice little like just slight jalapeno flavor to it, and it was amazing. So like, nice. It's not even necessary marinades all the time. It's just trying little things that have strong flavors and kind of inserting them, like bay leaves. Bay leaves is a really good example. People throw that in their pasta sauce, and it completely changes the profile from tomato sauce to, oh, this is like kind of got a little kick to it. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, very, very popular. Very popular are also like those Asian marinades. And what I personally love is like sesame, soy sauce, and honey, and now maple syrup.
Maple syrup? Okay.
Yeah. That's a really good combination.
Okay, now...
You like things sweet and sugary, don't you, Fleeks?
Only marinades, because the sweet stuff goes well with bland meat, I think, with barbecue especially. I mean, most barbecue sauces are sweet as fuck, for example.
That is true. Very true.
Most. Now, what experience have you both had in terms of, like, marinating and such? Because I'm very good with dry rubs. I've got that shit down. But when it comes to marinating... Have you noticed, what differences have you noticed between like when you grill something versus say throwing it in the oven? You know, what differences in terms of how they came out or how cooking one way versus the other altered like the flavor profile of the finished food?
I think in the oven it keeps the taste a bit more because the marinade does not drip into the grill and stuff.
Yeah. And it doesn't evaporate when you have it on a pan because it's already kind of an enclosed atmosphere.
I, for example, when we're coming to oven and stuff, I personally do bake my burger patties in the oven because it's more juicy and stuff than because in the pan it loses a lot of moisture.
See, when I put my burger patties or something like that in the oven, I literally will wrap it in aluminum foil to keep it moist, because I found the oven, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm not doing it the correct way, but it seems to dry food out a bit more than if I were to grill it.
Yeah.
And, but when I wrap it in aluminum foil, it keeps the moisture in.
Yeah, also I would generally recommend to use tin foil stuff to do barbecue, because if you're not grilling on a smoker, the smoke does nothing for your meat. It's only like a placebo effect. So if you're grilling, you can also use an electric grill, for example, because the taste doesn't change from the smoke of the coal, because it's not like the smoke doesn't stick enough to the meat when you just grill on open air, you know?
The American in me wants to disagree with you 2,000%.
Go on.
So I do like, you know, smoky, like, okay, so wood smoke, for example. Like, you could use charcoal. There's adds kind of a bit of a gritzledness texture to it. I think the smoke does definitely seep into the flavor. But if you use various woods, apple wood being a very common one, oak wood being another one, but those have different flavor profiles too when you cook meats over them. And generally, when you are cooking meat over a wood like that, you're kind of low temperature-ish cooking. Like, you're kind of getting the wood smoldering versus really burning. So they're creating, like, this big, thick smoke, you know, in the grill itself. Then when you open it up, you know, there's this big waft of poof, like, smoke just goes up. But it is, you have to kind of slowly cook the meat in this grill in order for it to kind of absorb into it.
Yeah, it's generally, in Germany, we are grilling with coal, so.
Gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
And nobody uses coal anymore.
Oh, I disagree. It's a highly popular, maybe in the Midwest, but it's an extremely popular art form. I don't care for it much because I like to regulate my temperature easily. And, you know, a natural gas grill, or propane grill, you just turn the knob to the temperature you want. Coal, once it gets hot, it's just kind of fucking hot. There's not a lot you can do about it. Sort of choking the airflow, and that doesn't always work that well to me. So. But it does produce a different flavor. There's no doubt about that.
The main problem with grilling over open fire is that the fat of the meat drips in the fire, and then it burns, and the gases that come from that are,
yeah.
The gases that come from that are cancerous and poisonous. Toxic. And that's the main issue. And if you don't get a lot of extra taste from grilling, just prevent it from happening. If you get extra taste, then it's worth the cancer, I guess.
Then it's worth the cancer. So what,
sir? Cleaner?
What the fuck? So are you saying it's cleaner to grill using coal and the smoke and everything it produces rather than just...
No, he's saying it's cleaner to grill using electricity or probably gas.
Well, gas is propane, but
yeah,
I digress. Then charcoal. But yet Germans, you just said Germans just told me they use charcoal on grilling.
Yeah. But... what I said was that it's healthier to... I did not say anything about cleaner and stuff, and I'm a bit confused right now.
Maybe I'm just trying to make sure I understand you. You're saying that the fire and the burning of fat and whatnot over an open grill produces potentially cancerous causing chemicals on the meat.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's coal or wood. I just recommended that you're using like pans for grilling or I don't know. If you don't get an extra taste from the smoke of the wood and stuff, but then you should rather use a smoker in general.
Well, if that's the case, then, you know, what's the point of having a grill? You might as well just use electricity and use an electric skillet.
Yeah, the outdoors, that's the thing. Grilling outside, you know.
Yeah, they have electric outdoor grills. I've seen them. I mean, they do make them.
Yeah, then you use them. It's even more comfortable, and you can focus on drinking beer.
Jeez.
That's just getting lazy, though.
It's all about fucking drinking beer. Well, I don't know.
There's an art form to cooking, Fleeks, and if you automate the process, you take away the soul.
I mean, that's kind of what a broiler is at, like, a restaurant such as Burger King. They set the patties in on the one end, and it goes through an automated grill and then spits it out the other. It just totally takes the fun out of it.
And that's McDonald's.
I mean, if frustrating minutes of frustrating hours of trying to get the coal to burn is the soul.
Or you could
can
practice and gain skill and learn.
But somebody always forgets, like, the helpers to get it burned, like those liquids and stuff.
And then once coal gets going, there's no way of shutting it off short of trying to choke the airflow, and even that doesn't always work very well.
There are advantages and disadvantages, I guess.
Yeah, coal is something that will burn completely through and through. Like the abandoned city with the coal mine burning underneath it. That yeah, Silent Hill is based off of.
That's still burning.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Ah, good stuff. So we've been talking about grilling and marinating and whatnot.
And we are approaching an hour in. Do we want to maybe move on to the questions? And
I can move on to the game I planned with you, because we are already somehow talked a bit about German culture, and I have a German food culture related game for you.
Sure.
And the rules are the following. I will translate some traditional German dishes for you literally into English. The words they are, I'm not even sure if they have an English word, so that would be fun. And I also have put in some fakes, and you have to find out which one are legit and which ones are not. And also you get bonus points, or you can also think about what those different dishes can be. So what do you imagine from the name and stuff, you know?
Sounds good.
Okay, so then let's start with the first masterpiece of German cuisine, and that's Kettangs. Fake or real?
I'm going to say real, because Germans are kind of crazy anyways, and it sounds like something that would go good with a Guinness.
I'm going to go with fake.
Okay, that's a point for Storm. And what do you think cat tongues are?
Oh, they're not actual cat tongues?
No, they aren't actual cat tongues.
Okay, well,
it's
you're
just a
fine.
If it's, I would say it's probably a cut of meat of some kind, but in terms of what type of meat specifically, I'm not sure.
What do you think, Cor?
What do I think a cat tongue is now?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just lost all meaning in my life. okay, you and your German literalisms. I'm guessing it's like a vegetable of some sort, but I don't know what.
Okay, cat tongues are a chocolate dessert, and it's tongue-shaped chocolate bars, more or less.
We need to send you some bear claws. We're going to go literal on the dessert pastries.
No, for fuck's sake. Anyways.
Anyways, the next one is a hanging peacock. Fake, or this is a legit thing?
Just mean. Just downright mean. Don't hang peacocks. They don't like it.
Well, what are you going with?
Fake again, personally.
Okay. Storm, what are you saying?
This, my gut says this one's probably fake.
Okay, both of you get a point. I just
don't hang peacocks, okay? They're lawyers. They know what to do.
Next food is mussel bags.
Mussel bags.
muscle like animal snouts, you know.
Oh, muzzle bags.
Yeah, muzzle.
Ooh.
I'm going to say that's probably true.
I don't know. Is he going to try to throw us for a loop?
He's done that before, but it sounds almost like something like a chip or something like that. So why not with that?
Yeah, I guess I'll go with I'll go with fake. I'm going to go with fake.
That's a point for Storm again, and they are called Maultaschen, and they are also known as German ravioli, and it's
really?
Oh, yeah.
Ravioli?
Italy is, like, right there. It's, like, an 8-hour drive. Like, it's, like, right there. Just call it ravioli.
They are different. They are much bigger. You cook them in broth, and they are practically noodle dough, mostly filled with pork and ham and some vegetables, like almost like dumplings, I would say. But it's my favorite food, by the way.
God help you if they call it a dumpling, because that would be too easy for Germans,
right?
No, it's not really a dumpling. So it's really more, I mean, if you consider raviolis as dumplings, I don't know. But yeah, we could discuss about it for hours. Pictos, fake or legit?
Real.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Cora on this one. Pig toes do sound real.
Yo, balls don't get a point. I came up with that.
God damn it.
Dead grandma.
I don't like Germanisms anymore.
What the hell did you just say?
Dead grandma, fake or legit?
He's making fun of your grandma now. How does it make you feel, Storm?
If that's the case, it's got to be real.
So.
Yeah, I'll go with real too.
Yeah, and you're both right. What do you guess is a dead grandma? What do you guess? What could this be?
It sounds like something that would be like a cocktail or even like a pastry of some sort.
I agree. It sounds like some kind of drink.
Okay. Actually, a dead grandma, in German, tote Oma, is practically blood sausage with stamped potatoes and sauerkraut.
Oh, black sausage. Oh, God. And my fucking cider.
But there are multiple variations. I actually like black sausage, and I like stamped potatoes, but I do not like sauerkraut a lot. Except in goulash. There's a sauerkraut goulash that's very good. Oh my god, I love it. But generally, sauerkraut isn't my turf, you know. No, not my cup of tea. So, purple sauce.
Purple sauce fake is real.
Huh. Purple sauce. It actually sounds like it might be real.
And he's going to say it's fake, and it's inspired by Rick and Morty, probably.
I made it up. There is actually, we have a lot of sauce called with colors, but purple sauce is not a thing, really. Not that I know of. And We have a green sauce, like it's made from herbs and stuff. But yeah.
Well, we have green and red sauces over here.
We got more color sauces than that. We got all kinds of shit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if we're going with color names, kind of thing.
Oh well.
So two are left, and the one before the last is hot. Sorry, I had to.
Don't die.
So, next one, hot Russian.
False in every pretense, in every sense.
Hot Russian? Did you say Russian?
Hard, like hard.
Oh,
like hot Russian.
I don't know. So,
true.
I'll stick with Storm because he's been on a lucky streak.
But when you stick with Core, you can't win anymore because he is 2 points
Shut up, okay? Shut up.
Okay. So what did you say, real or fake?
Fine, I'll go with fake if you're going to be that way. Jesus.
Okay. Are you sure, Cor?
Whatever. I don't care anymore, man.
Okay, in this case, Cor gets a point and Storm not. Ooh, I put two.
Booyah, I'm the best. What? No.
And the last one, the final round, is wrong rabbit.
Wrong?
I'm just going to go real.
And Cor, what do you say?
I said real.
Okay. Yeah, you're both right. And wrong rabbit is practically a meatloaf.
Okay.
With cheese and ketchup?
Kind of
it's very important that it has cheese and ketchup.
It has a whole hard boiled egg in it, you know, like you put you
yeah, we cover, do that with meatloaf. That's normal.
Okay. I haven't said anything. It's a wrong rabbit in Germany, a falscher Hase.
Do you give it little meaty ears? Like you just like take two little wads of meat and you just kind of stick them on top and like there's its ears.
No, actually.
Do you give a little bunny tail on the end made out of meat as well? Just put that on there. I'm doing that now. It's happening. Take
so,
pictures.
Y'all...
Actually, it's just a cuboid.
So, y'all ready for questions?
Yes.
I am all... My body's ready, yes.
Okay. First question comes from Tier Birdie. Question is, in this modern day and age, is it ethically or socially acceptable for birds of prey to nom on other birds, particularly those whose main prey is other birds, such as peregrine falcons and pigeons, or ostriches and kiwis? Thoughts?
Who do you think we keep in our jail systems out of everybody else? Peregrines.
Jiristil, there's a special place in Birdanian prison just for you.
It's called the Cannibal Ward, and we just kind of keep you all there in one area, separated from each other.
Why would you separate from each other? Just put them all in the same room so they can eat each other. Solve the problem.
So we can give them vegan food and force them to eat it.
God. What do you think, Fleeks?
I think if it depends on the universe, I mean... He talks about especially, I mean, it's, I can't answer that.
Well, I think we would really have like meat substitutes for birds that usually eat other birds, so that way they can feast on other meat and be satisfied.
Meat substitute. Delicious.
It would still be meat. It's just.
It's the least appetizing thing you could phrase it as, though.
Oh, shut up.
Meat substitute like Spam or Soylent Green. I get you.
That's right. Only the finest grade D meat for all the Birdanian flock to dine on.
So if a peregrine eats another peregrine, does it get peregrine kuru?
Probably. I would say it just solves us a problem.
Maybe all peregrines have kuru. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why they are the way they are.
Oh, God.
I mean,
they're like the cannibalistic islanders of the bird world.
They do not get kuru as long as they do not eat the brain. So,
good to know. Next question comes from Eclipse Griffin. Question is, lorikeet tongues, terrifying or not?
I'm going to have to Google this now. God damn it.
I have to Google it, too.
I'm going to have to Google it, three. Can someone throw a picture up?
I know what a lorikeet is, but I've never seen their tongue.
The fuck is a lorikeet tongue?
Yeah. Oh god, they have like a weird fuzzy thing on the end.
That kind of weirds me out.
From this angle, it kind of looks like Storm's. Never mind.
That is some creepy ass shit right there. That would give some interesting sex.
Thank you, Storm.
Thank you, Storm. It kind of looks like sea cucumber or something that lives in the sea.
Does the tongue regurgitate?
Probably.
So would you have this as a feature made available on your bird? Hell to the no is my answer.
It's the fluffiest tongue I've ever seen.
Oh, you kidding? That tongue is many things, but fluffy is not one of them.
The tip is it looks pretty fluffy, in my opinion.
So, here's a fun fact for you. A parasite called the Cimotha exigua. And what it does is it eats a fish's tongue and then becomes the fish's tongue. And it enters a symbiotic relationship with the fish, acting as its tongue.
The fuck?
Well, if you say it's symbiotic, what advantages does it have the fish over... what advantages
because
does it
the fish no longer has a tongue.
Normal tongue. Yeah, but because the parasite took it.
So it's a forced symbiosis. Stockholm symbiosis.
It doesn't work like that.
That's kind of like a car thief coming and stealing your car and then coming back the next day and saying, I'll give you rides for the rest of your life and your stolen car.
Yeah. Very symbiotic.
The fuck is this shit?
Oh, how nice of you.
Oh, I'm so honored you stole my car and are giving me rides in it. I really needed the chauffeur service.
Well, would that not be a little bit of a bonus? Like, if you had, like, someone steal your car, but then they were, like, came back and they say, hey, I'm your chauffeur for life. Or if they were a girl, a chauffeur.
You still have to pay the gasoline, so.
But I wouldn't have to drive. I could sit in the back seat and text. I could nap in the back seat on my way to work.
But okay, Cora's starting to make this sound like more advantageous.
But you also have to pay the gasoline for his own rides. Like, he comes always back to you, hey, your car...
So that would be my only additional cost to having a chauffeur instead of actually paying for a chauffeur is like, cool, he drives my car around for me. He drives me wherever I need to go, and then he also uses the car for his own personal uses, but he makes sure my priorities are first because it's my car. Yes. Dude, I'm on board, okay? That's fine. I'm not going to be paying like $120 an hour for a chauffeur. How is this a negative thing in any connotation?
Well, the lack of control of your car at our times is kind of a disappointment to some people. But hey, Cora...
I have a chauffeur! That's an advantage!
I like actually doing the driving, some weird...
Don't get me wrong, I like driving as well, a lot, but, like, again, you have the benefit of, like, you know, taking a nap wherever you're going to, or, like, you know, just chilling out. Would you like music on, sir? Yes, please, thank you.
Next question comes from Feedy. Question is, did you ever take an electric shock? If so... How did it feel?
Too many times in my life.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. I work IT for a living. I've also, when I was a grifflet, used to take things and shove them into electrical outlets. And one time I shoved a flathead screwdriver into an outlet that sent me flying across the room.
Why?
Knocked all the lights out in the house. And my parents ran downstairs in panic. They found me laughing.
Everything just kind of clicked. For me. And you just make sense now, Storm.
And why is that? Why is that?
You do. You just...
Yeah.
It's all come together at this point.
Really? Thanks, Cor. I appreciate the love. What about you guys? Tell me your story.
Ladies
start
first.
With Cor first. Start with
okay.
Cor first.
Oh, wait. Whatever. Anyways, so I grew up on a ranch, and so we had like cattle fencing around some areas. Well, not all of the cattle fencing was in use at any given point. So my friends and I, we got some posts and we built a maze out of wire and hooked it up to one of the cattle fence things. And then one of us would grab a cattle prod and the other would wander into the maze. And the other person would try to cattle prod the person while they were in the maze.
And the cattle prod was attached by wire to the fence?
No, it was a little, it was a battery powered cattle prod. So if you got hit by the cattle prod, not only would you get hit by a really big burst of electricity, you would then fall into the fence, which would then continue like tick, 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 like ow. Kind of thing. And this went on for about a week until, like, one of my friends lost bowel control and had to run home. Their parents were not thrilled about what was happening when they found out.
Really? Oh, and God. You say I'm the special one.
Hey, I never stuck a fork or a screwdriver into an outlet because I knew better. And I knew those electric fences and cattle prods were not going to kill us.
I was young. Well,
so was I.
I had my
cattle fence. I was like eight, 7 years old when we were doing this.
Okay, Carl.
What about you, I had Felix? My cattle fence experiences too, and I did not know it was an electric cattle fence. So I just saw there were horses. I was a kid in the fourth grade, and I just with both of my hands I was on the fence and grabbed this thing and think, oh, horse! Oh! I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then, oh, that's the first electric fence I ever encountered in my life. Nice. And but my serious shock I got from fixing my monitor and forgetting to put the cord out of the socket.
Ooh.
I put the screen on off, but that wasn't enough. Obviously, and I got shocked pretty. I fell from my chair and the energy went out, and my brother came over and asked me, why are you laying on the floor? What happened?
With your hair all stuck up in the air.
And I was like, I almost died.
Super.
Okay. Yeah,
I've never made a mistake with electricity when it's come to serious, real electricity. I'm pretty proud of myself for that. Yeah, but I think it's probably because I knew what electricity was because of my experience with cow fences. And also, the moral of the story is, Fleeks, don't pet strangers' horses.
Yeah, but I'm sure he learned a lesson.
I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Second to last question will be from Drizzle, and the question is, what is your favorite ice cream?
Honestly, vanilla. I love it.
I am with Core here. I love vanilla as well, and I love adding things to it when I'm in the mood.
Don't get me wrong. I love a lot of other ice cream flavors. Cake batter, superb. Cookie dough, pretty good. But there's just something about the vanilla bean that is just delightful, you know?
Yep.
I can't decide between two of my favorites. Vanilla is way too boring for me. But I really love Häagen-Dazs, strawberry cheesecake, and the Ben & Jerry's were monster. Oh my god, the were monster is like pure joy. It has, do you know that? Because it has maple syrup. It's maple syrup ice cream with pecan nuts, with caramelized. And oh my god, it's so perfect.
I will say this, Ben & Jerry's does have a chocolate core ice cream, which is supremely diabetically delicious.
I don't like the chocolate core too much. It's too much just. But they were monster, and they were monster. It doesn't exist anymore since about 1 or 2 years. It's just stopped.
Aww.
They don't do it anymore, I think. And it was so great. It was Canadian goodness, practically. Oh, man.
All right. Last question comes from Sable Griffin. The question is this. A magical fish offers to give you a wish if you let it go. Do you? And if so, what do you wish for? The trick is we all can wish for anything we want, but then another one of us has to explain how that person's wish actually gets granted.
Oh, this game.
Oh, like wish goes wrong or something.
I'm down. Let's do this.
Well, the first question was, would you even let the fish free and get the wish? I think it depends how much I crave for fish. I mean,
let's say it's probably not a very delicious fish. Let's say it's like a magic carp that does not evolve into a Gyarados.
Maybe.
So you're not going to eat it.
Good.
So you let it go out of the goodness of your heart, or... Well, you let it go and you get a wish, or for whatever reason, you keep the carp and don't get a wish.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Most of us would probably go with,
the wish upon a fish.
Except you're like an osprey or a bald eagle.
So let's get into the wish aspect of it then.
Yes, let's get into the wish aspect of it, if that's what we want to do.
Storm, so, let's start with you. You caught a fish. Do you give it back and get a wish, or do you keep it?
I give it back and get a wish.
What is your wish?
More magic fish.
That's technically true. I would be the kind of person... I didn't see any rules, exclusions on this. So I would wish to be able to ask for unlimited wishes. Now.
You are suddenly rained down upon by an unlimited amount of fish and you die.
No. I'm going to explain myself here. If that's not allowed, then I would ask for immortality.
Then you never die. You are still on the planet Earth when the sun expands and you become part of the burning core of the now red dwarf sun. Congratulations.
Yay.
Okay, that's a result of what would happen. That doesn't tell me how I would go about getting it.
No, it's not how you go about getting it. It's the wish gone wrong.
Yeah, the wish gone wrong. And you're like, oh, damn, all my families and friends are dead. I'm part of the melting planet. Yeah, but maybe you're lucky and you will... And somehow end up on a new planet in billions of years.
And right. Then he will eventually see the end of the universe and the eventual heat death where there's no other life. And he will be all alone in a void filled with iron empty planets.
Who's to say we're not on a different planet by then?
The heat death of the universe.
The heat death of the universe. Okay. Yeah, that's a long ways away.
Pay attention to the things that I say. Yeah, but then you have an even longer time with absolutely nothing. Ever.
And then you see the Big Bang. And then you can become a very decorated scientist because you know how the Big Bang happened.
Yeah. You are the one static element in the entire universe. You'd essentially be God if there was a second Big Bang.
Who's to say one day?
Maybe he is even the cause of the Big Bang. Then who knows? So I would wish for would be a wallet where I can get like infinite bills out of it from the actual valid currency. You know, where I am. If I'm in America, I get dollars. And if they don't have dollars anymore, so if they have future dollars, I can get future dollars out of it. And I wish especially for that, because if I would wish like for $1 million or something, then I have like practically drug money, you know. I can't like spend it and stuff. But if I have like an infinite wallet, you know, then I can whenever I need money
Fleeks?
To pay cash.
Fleeks,
you know,
you get mugged and you no longer have the wallet.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that would sum that up pretty easy.
Yeah, okay, I see.
All right, what about you, Cor?
I wish to have the metabolism I had when I was 21.
Ooh, could you, like, eat anything and be skinny as a rail?
I could put things down pretty damn well and not put on weight, yeah.
Well, you do not put on weight, but you did not. Metabolism is a very wide term, and yeah, you would spend forever on the toilet, no one, because it was exactly that moment when you had the metabolism phase where you had to get rid of the stuff.
Okay.
Wow.
Storm, do you want to take a crack at that?
Wow. You wish no. You could have the metabolism that you had when you were 21. But unfortunately, because you wished that, it malfunctions and you always have to keep eating to stay alive.
Well, do I not already have to do that? Like, do I have the option of not eating anymore and dying?
No, I didn't
know that. How come nobody told me this? I did not get that letter in the mail.
You'd have to eat nonstop.
Thanks, Trump.
Yes, totally blame Trump for this.
You have to eat your whole life. Oh my god. No. Actually, you have the metabolism. Your body still ages, you know, and you have the metabolism of a 20-year-old. But it's not very compatible with your older body. So you're... Yeah,
so I would probably die a little younger.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that about wraps it up for this week, right?
Yeah, that wraps it up.
So thank you so much for joining us this week. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing to us on Patreon. It's a big help to the show, helps pay for the server, and keeps us ad-free. Additionally, if you subscribe to us on Patreon, you get extra content. I'm producing a story-driven kind of plot about Berdania. You may have seen the teaser trailer for it before this episode came out. And additionally, there's also access to the Bird Life News, which we do periodically. I can't say with any relative frequency, but we do it sometimes. Yes. And there is more content to come. Also, feel free to check out tpecker.redbubble.com. That's Fleeks's personal store site where he designs and sells bird related t-shirts. It's really cool. Check it out.
The Patreon's going to have lots of interesting things added to it, and I'm also developing some secret items myself to be added to this wonderful little Patreon channel, so stay tuned.
Okay, Fleeks, what was your outro question?
Wasn't actually my question. Rectus' question is, would you rather become a bird, become your bird sona in the real world, or have your character as companion friend for you to interact and be with?
Companion.
I go with the companion too, because I think that would be awesome. But on the other hand,
I would say I would make him do my homework, but he has fingers and can't hold pencils.
Yeah. No, I think it would go with the first choice, but I'm a bit afraid of regretting it, but still, I would
want to become myself. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I would become myself, and then... But then I would probably be subject to...
scientific experimentation?
Yeah, but if I would choose that I have my character's companion friend to interact with, he would become... subject of scientists.
So let's take science out of the equation entirely. Like, we don't have to worry about our alter ego being, you know, hijacked by scientists. Damn scientists. What have you ever done for society?
Then I would go with A if I don't have to worry about anything, but...
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, always be beeping!
Always,
always be beeping. I love you all. Thanks for everything. Don't know, but I'm gonna use the bathroom real quick. Nature called out of nowhere, so I'll be right back.
That's what pre-show time is for, man.
It just hit. Forgive me.
Yeah, I've read 100 tips of podcaster, and 3 of the tips were. Go to the bathroom before the podcast.
Storm is failing 3 of the 100.